If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, I was trying to, Scott Korzenowski, by the way, filling in for Chad Hartman here at 830 WCCO. And we are joined by David Wheaton. And David, I wouldn't say I met you, but my parents were members at Minnetonka Country Club, and I was mostly a golfer, but I would go and play some tennis, and I might have even taken a tennis lesson from your mother. I can't remember if I did or I didn't, but I remember you running around there when you were like 4 or 5 years old, and I think by that point you would have easily been able to beat me. So I've known of you since back in those days when you were running around the tennis courts at Minnetonka Country Club.
Wow, that brings up a lot of good memories from way back in the day. Scott, thank you for having me on today. But I remember that fondly. The Minnetonka Country Club isn't even there anymore.
I know.
It's a housing development. But my mother used to teach tennis there in the summer. And you're right, I would tag along on the courts. I believe it was 3 courts there.
Yep.
And I played my first tournament there when I was just 8 years old and lost in the final when I was a 12-year-old, Scott, and was so competitive that I refused to shake hands after getting defeated. So a lot of good memories of Minnetonka Country Club back in the day.
Yeah, and you had a stellar professional career. You made it to the semifinals at Wimbledon, and you lost to Boris Becker. And so with the Wimbledon tournament having just now concluded, what were your thoughts on it, and especially the two winners, both of whom, and we can talk about it maybe a little later, had been part of a doping scandal. But what's your thought about first of all, Jannik Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz? I mean, the match they had in Roland Garros was epic. This one was close to being that epic. There was a time in the fourth set when it looked like Sinner was going to spit the bit and we might be going to a fifth set, but he gathered himself and finished it off. But two tremendous finals the last two times by these two guys.
Very much. And I think the headline right now in men's professional tennis is that the guard has officially changed. You know, from 2003, when Federer won his first major, all the way up to 2023, when you had this rivalry of the big three with Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal just gobbling up major after major. I mean, Djokovic has won 24 majors, Nadal has won 22, and Federer has won 20. I mean, I can't, you know, records are made to be broken, Scott, but I don't see that one being broken anytime soon. But the big headline now is the fact that the two guys you mentioned, Jannik Sinner, who's from northern Italy, kind of grew up in a ski area up there and turned out to be a very good skier, but chose tennis, and rightfully so with how well he's doing. He's number one in the world now. And then his main rival now is Carlos Alcaraz, another incredible player from Spain to replace Rafael Nadal, who retired a couple of years ago. These two have been in the finals and played each other in the last 7 majors. So the last 2 years, from 2024 to 2025, the final of every Grand Slam has, I believe, been the same, where they played each other. So this is a big story, and the fact that Sinner had never beaten Alcaraz in a head-to-head match, and you talked about that match at the French Open. I watched part of that. Sinner had three match points to win the French Open and lost. So that was a crushing defeat. And how difficult mentally was it for him to get into the Wimbledon final now, play against Alcaraz, who he had never beaten and who had just lost to, having three match points, to actually go in there and stay steady and win that match says a lot about Sinner's mental game.
Yeah, there was a point where he was down two break points in the fourth set that if Alcaraz gets one of those two, the match would have been tied. And who knows what would – the set would have been tied, and who knows what would happen. But instead, he held on. He was up a break when finished off the set. And that was – you could just see he was probably thinking this is just like Roland Garros, but then he came back from that. Before I – somebody asked me to ask you a question. How would you rank 1, 2, and 3 between Borg, Connors, McEnroe?
Borg, Connors, and McEnroe. But that was quite an era.
Yes.
In the 70s and early 80s when they played. Actually, Connors actually played into the late 80s. He played so late in his late 30s. I'm thinking he was nearing 40 when he retired. Boy, those guys are so different. You know, the Connors or McEnroe and Borg had, of course, that incredible match at Wimbledon in 1980 with that tiebreaker in the fourth set, went to 18-16. It was a legendary tennis match. That's when tennis was incredibly popular in this country as well because of all the rivalries, the American players that had come out. But really to compare them, I mean, Borg had such a short career. I mean, he won 11 majors, I believe it was, all at the French Open and Wimbledon, 6 Frenches, 5 Wimbledons. And he was, I think he retired at the age of about 25 years old. I think he just got burned out.
Yep.
And I think that really took away a lot of momentum from John McEnroe, actually, because McEnroe was fueled by that rivalry with Borg. And then you throw Connors into that mix, who was this really boisterous, incendiary player and personality. And that was a generation that we grew up looking up to, unfortunately. Borg was a great sport on the court, but not so much McEnroe and Connors. And so when guys like Federer and Nadal and much better behaved players came along, it sort of, I think, righted what's expected of the etiquette of tennis. But certainly that rivalry with McEnroe, Borg, and Connors was an amazing one. And who was the best player? Boy, that'd be hard to say. I think Connors maybe won the most titles of all those three. But I would say maybe Borg or McEnroe may have been just a whisker better if you had to ask my opinion.
Okay, and I'll tell you what, I was really, in watching Alcaraz, I was a big McEnroe fan in the day. I kind of liked that he would yell at the refs, by the way, which seems to be a thing of the past now that they have all these, now that the robots are calling it. It's kind of hard to argue with a robot. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this at the Wimbledon, they had a picture of Bjorn Borg sitting in the front row, and he looked like a model. Right. McEnroe, he had this dark, you know, his skin was nice and tan. He had silver hair done. He hardly a wrinkle in his face. And McEnroe goes, boy, old age has really been tough on my old rival Borg. So it was pretty interesting to see. Alcaraz really reminds me a lot of McEnroe because it seems to me, by the way, we're talking to David Wheaton, tennis legend in Minnesota and a former professional who played in all these majors. David, it seems to me that the serve and volley game is not even on grass, isn't what it used to be, that there are fewer players that go into the net. But the thing I like about Alcaraz is he can beat you from the baseline, he can beat you with finesse, and he can beat you at the net. And McEnroe was a lot like that. We had all aspects of the game. What's your feeling on Alcaraz? Because I think he could be one of the greatest of all time and maybe even get those records that you talked about.
He might. I mean, he's been around. He's only, I think, 22 or 23 years old. It seems like he's been out there for a long time. Came out when he was young, 17, 18 years old. And right away, people could look at his game. He had a very mature, complete game for someone that young when he was 17 or 18. So there's a lot of expectation for him. And he's really lived up to it, which is very hard to do. He has a great enthusiasm when he plays the game, when he competes. You see a smile on his face a lot. He competes hard. He shows his emotion. He's a gamer. He loves the competition, loves the battle. And that's going to take him a long way. He's got a great team around him, a guy that played during my generation. Juan Carlos Ferrero was his coach in Spain. And so, yeah, he's got big things ahead of him. I think he's already won, 6 majors or something. Yep. So he's well on his way to being a great player. Now, whether he is able to attain a situation like his countryman Rafael Nadal and getting 22 is a completely different story. That takes a lot of good things to go your way, like good health not getting injuries, staying motivated, having good people around you, all the different things that go into having a career of longevity. But you're right about him. He has a very good all-court game. Now, what you said about him being more like McEnroe, I wouldn't say not so much, because McEnroe was much more of a net rushing player. His serve was so good, so accurate, very quick around the net, great hands. But I think from a temperamental standpoint, Alcaraz not as temperamental as McEnroe, who is, but he certainly shows you what's going on inside of him when he's playing tennis.
There's been a lot talked about in tennis. I know Amanda Asimonov, who got shut out in her match and then gave a very eloquent speech under incredibly trying circumstances, but she had stepped away from the game for a while. We've seen Coco Gauff. You were in the cauldron of men's tennis, and it seems to me that it's got to be a very stressful way to make a living. Is that true, and how did you handle that yourself?
Understatement.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I think tennis, and of course I'm a bit biased in saying this, but I think it's one of the hardest sports because it's a one-on-one sport. It's so personal. It's so confrontational. It's just you and your opponent. And back in the day, I know they allow some coaching now, but back in the day, it was you had no help from the outside, and it was just, win or be defeated. And I think boxing and wrestling are tougher because they bring the physical aspect into it, physical contact into it. But it is a very stressful career from a standpoint of that confrontational nature of tennis. There's nowhere to hide. You can't run out the clock. There's no clock in tennis. You can't just sort of, slow down at the end of the game. You have to push your way across the finish line. There are so many ups and downs. You're talking about that fourth set with Alcaraz and Sinner that, a couple points either way, all of a sudden, boom, Sinner loses the fourth set, and now they're in the fifth set, and it's anyone's match. And so I think the stress of that and the length of the season, there's really no off season in tennis. These players are traveling all over the world. It's highly competitive, drawing from all international countries. It's not a regional sport. And I think all of this just adds to the fact that makes this a difficult sport, but a great sport. This is a court. This is a sport that kind of reveals what you have going on inside of you, and you're laid bare when you're on a tennis court. And that's why I felt particularly badly for Amanda Anisimova in the finals of Wimbledon, losing 6-0, 6-0. I mean, this is, I think this is the first time in 114 years at Wimbledon that it's been double bageled in the final. So that's going to be a tough one to recover from, but she had a great tournament as an American to get there. She beat the number one player in the world, Sabalenka, in the semis. And so she can still hold her head high, but that's something that will stick with you, and she's going to have to be able to overcome going forward.
One thing before I let you go, first of all, I would recommend to anybody find the, I think it's The Unknown. It's The Unknown documentary series on Marty Fish. Did you ever know Marty Fish? He did grow up in Minnesota and went down. But the amazing thing is Marty Fish had played all the way to where he was in the top 10. He's in the semifinals of a major tournament, and he says, "I can't play anymore." He goes, I need some help mentally, and he went and got it. I mean, that will tell you that you watch that and you know how difficult the sport is. Did you ever get to know Marty? Do you know Marty?
I do know Marty. He was a generation or two behind me. Mm-hmm. But I do know him. I know he was born and raised for a time here in Minnesota, moved down to Florida. Real nice guy. Great golfer, by the way, in addition to a tennis player.
Yes.
But, yeah, I have not seen that documentary, but I was aware of the difficulty he went through mentally at that particular point in his career. And he's not the only one. I mean, this is challenging. And I think the perspective, keeping perspective is so key. This is a sport. Why am I doing this? What am I afraid of? Why am I, all the key questions that you have to have grounded in your life to be able to do something well and be at peace doing it is so, so important. That's something that I really had to go through in my own career as well. And I sort of came to a point in my career, midway through, where I really was grounded in my faith. And that really helped me have better perspective on going in this career.
Well, before I let you go, tell us what you're doing now.
Yeah. Well, for the last 20-some years, I came off the tour at the end of, I think it was 2001. So I'm 56 years old now, hard to believe looking back at those days. But I've been involved in producing radio what you're doing. For the last 20-some years, I produce a Christian radio program called The Christian Worldview every week. And that's been a very fulfilling post-career endeavor for me. So I really enjoy that.
Well, good. Well, thanks for coming on, David. I appreciate your insight, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, see you later. David Wheaton, the great David Wheaton. Yeah, he was quite – his mom was – she was quite the tennis pro. And she – this little kid was just sitting there lashing these baseline shots. We were all amazed. You know, yeah. I was – so he's 9 years younger than me, so I would have been – when he was four, I would have been like 13. And, you know, I probably thought I was pretty good. Yeah, I wasn't. I watched them. It was something to see. So some good insight.
I liked the story about losing in the final at the club to the 12-year-old when yes. he was eight and being so mad and so competitive that he refused to shake the opponent's hand. I can only imagine what the car ride home was with
yes.
mom, the tennis pro. I'm sure she did not take kindly to that
they're
behavior.
They're a very Christian, you know, behave yourself family. You're not going to see these. Then his sister was also a very good tennis player, Marnie. Mm. I didn't get a chance to ask about her. She was also a very good tennis player. So quite the tennis family. So it's always great getting David on the radio when it comes to a tennis. He's a good guy to listen to. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the Supreme Court, you know, I don't think that the Supreme Court necessarily is making decisions based on the law. I think they're making decisions based on which party is in the presidency.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Korzenowski in for Hartman. Chad, he'll be back next week. You won't be stuck with me tomorrow. Who's filling in tomorrow? Do you know that?
Chris Eggert from right, Channel Chris 5 is doing it tomorrow.
Right, there we go. There's a phrase that the GOP used for years to describe courts that ruled against their beliefs. And it was, they would call them what? Do you remember this?
Activist judges, correct.
Activist judges. What they meant, really, and what anybody who used that phrase, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, anybody who uses the phrase activist judge, what that really means is I don't like your decision.
Mm-hmm. You don't agree with us.
Because this is kind of like in sports when you sit there at the end of the game, the referee decides I'm not going to call anything. I'm not going to decide the game. Well, guess what? You are deciding the game.
Yes.
You are deciding the game by allowing people to do illegal things to the other players. I mean, whether you make a call or whether you decide not to make a call, you are impacting the game. So being an official is always act, and judges are the same. Judges get a case brought to them, whether it's criminal or civil, and they have to make decisions. And they don't do their decision by sitting on their hands, whether they say this law is constitutional or this law is not constitutional. Both are decisions. Both are activist judges. A non-activist judge would sit there and do nothing. I can tell you, as a litigator, I had a case where we brought three motions to this judge, and for 4 years, he never decided the issue. And then we ended up in trial with the guy because he never decided. It was something he should have decided before we ever got in trial. So that was a non-activist judge. That was a comatose judge. But if you're a judge, you have to make decisions. That's what you do. That's what your job is. So this activist term doesn't mean anything. So that's what they meant. But now, under MAGA and Project 2025, remember that? Talked about Stephen Miller?
Yeah.
You know, was in the news in Minnesota where he says that you can't go to our parks anymore. And Mary Moriarty kind of came after him, as did some other people on Twitter. But the same folks who decried activist judges as those that ruled against them, they are now using their 6-3 majority in the Supreme Court to unleash what they now espouse to be the unitary executive theory. As political scientist Adam Bonica wrote recently, UET, Unitary Executive Theory, is not a principled theory of constitutional law being applied in good faith. It is a political weapon wielded with partisan selectivity designed to achieve a concentration of power that is fundamentally at odds with American democracy. It is the American face of what is termed autocratic legalism. The maximalist version of UET argues this entire structure is unconstitutional. It claims that because the president alone possesses, quote, all executive power, unquote, any law passed by Congress that limits the president's ability to fire an official at will is an illegitimate infringement on presidential authority. In this view, every federal employee in the executive branch serves at the pleasure of the president, who can direct any action and fire any official for any reason or no reason at all. If the unitary executive theory were a genuine constitutional principle, however, its adherents would apply this equally to all presidents, right? Both presidents. It wouldn't matter. This is their position.
Yep.
That anything the president wants to do, he can do. That's basically their position. But this same court, when Joe Biden went to them and asked and said, I want to do things, guess what? Couldn't do them. So let me give you an example. The pattern of a selective application has been mirrored at the Supreme Court. Under the Biden administration, the court's conservative majority preached judicial restraint and deference to Congress. The most telling example came in the 2021 case, U.S. v. Arthrex. There, Justice Clarence Thomas, a leading proponent of strong executive, argued against the court rewriting a law governing patent judges, saying he would simply leave the intact patent scheme Congress has created. He would not let Biden change it. But that deference is no longer politically convenient now that Trump's president. The uneven application is most stark in the court's handling of nationwide injunctions, a powerful tool lower courts use to block controversial executive policies. This has been in the news because they just had a new case. But essentially, it's this. A president goes out and does something executive order.
Yep.
Somebody says he doesn't have the authority to do that. A court says, okay, we're going to enjoin him. We're going to stop him from doing it. He can't do it until we determine whether he could do it or not. At a preliminary stage, we're going to look at it and say, because we don't know yet, and there'll be a lot of harm could be caused by letting him do this, we're going to stop the president from doing it, and then we're going to have a full-blown trial. And once we determine whether he can do it or not, if he can do it, he can do it. If he can't, there wasn't harm, because doing it is going to cause harm. So Biden had 21 times he asked this same Supreme Court to allow to take off the injunction. You know how many times they took off the injunction? Twice. 2 out of 21. Trump, on the other hand, has asked, let me see if I can find the numbers here. I've got my sheet. Trump has, the lower courts have blocked Trump's policies 86 times. Okay? So if they were to rule the same way, so 1 out of 10, which is what Biden got, he had 21 times. Mm-hmm. They said twice they lifted the injunction.
Yeah.
Okay. Trump, 86 times, you'd expect it to be about 8 or 9.
Sure.
Instead, 66 Oof. Of 86 lifted, 77% of the time.
Wow.
Now, you could say, well, maybe Trump's was following the law more than Biden. I doubt it. Both of these are cases where somebody has said the president is trying to do something that he's not authorized to do. We still have a separation of powers in this country. And it's supposed to be, you know, judicial. You know, it's supposed to be executive enforces the laws. Congress makes the laws and the court interprets the laws. And they're doing this on what's called the silent docket. And so when Trump does it, he wins 77% of the time. When Biden did it, he won only 10% of the time. And I don't think that that is the very definition of what the old activist judges is. This is where they're doing something for political reasons instead of interpreting the law. And it's been a long time coming, and the GOP and MAG has got their judges, and they're doing it, and they're basically making it, they're delivering Trump a runway to do pretty much whatever he wants on that case. So it's, now let's see what's coming up next. Let's see. What time are we at here? Oh, we're coming up next. Even though the ink isn't yet dry on the 900-page beautiful bill, the U.S. Senate has now passed the rescission bill, which claws back $9 billion in foreign aid programs and public media. We'll discuss when we return here on 830 WCCO.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Korzenowski filling in for Chad Hartman here at 830 WCCO. Somebody wrote in and says, WCCO ever had a guest host that was a conservative? I don't know that I'm not a conservative. I might be conservative on certain topics. I'm just talking about how the Supreme Court is not being conservative. So there. The U.S. Senate today, a week or so since they passed the big, since the Congress passed the big, beautiful bill. The second very controversial bill that is being trumpeted by Trump and others is called the rescission bill. And the Senate yesterday passed a White House endorsed plan to cancel $9 billion in federal funding for foreign aid programs and public media after the Republican led chamber blocked attempts to slim down the package in a marathon overnight voting session. The measure was approved 51-48 at 2:30 a.m. on Thursday, largely along party lines. And with Republican Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alabama, Alaska, they're always the ones there. They were joining the Democrats in opposition. The bill now heads to the House, which must pass it by Friday, or the executive branch is supposed to release the funding. So if they don't get it passed by Friday, then I guess the executive branch has to release the funding. I don't see that happening.
No.
Do you?
It'll get done.
I don't think that's maybe how it's supposed to be done. I'd be surprised if it was. The bill effectively asks lawmakers to claw back funding they previously doled out, including $7.9 billion from foreign aid programs. The plan also would rescind $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the organization that oversees government funding for National Public Radio and the Public Broadcasting Service, defunding it for the next two fiscal years. So apparently it looks like they're going to have no federal funding for the next 2 years. During the late night session, an effort by Murkowski and Collins failed to salvage most of the funding for the public broadcasting through an amendment that would have reduced the cuts from $1.1 billion to $8.3 million. The amendment was defeated 47-51. Murkowski and Collins were the only Republicans to vote yes alongside Democrats. Senator Tom Tillis, a Republican from North Carolina, said, "I suspect we're going to find out there are some things that we're going to regret, and I suspect when we do, we'll have to come back and fix them." Yet, he still voted for the package. It still kind of amazes me that on a lot of these spending bills, there are a number of Republicans that where they're cutting spending, or here they're actually these dollars have already been appointed to these purposes. Mm-hmm. Congress had already said we're going to use this money for these purposes, and now they're doing a rescission. Rescission in the law means you just take it back. You redo it, undo it. If I have a contract and rescind it, it's as though the contract wasn't there anymore. That's what it means. And they're doing this. And this is the first time, I think, since 1999 that a rescission bill has passed. It's a very unusual thing to do. You know, it goes back to, if you remember, the perfect phone call that Trump had, you know, in his first term when he was talking to, you know, Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, before Ukraine was bombed by a Russian, where all of us didn't know where Ukraine even was, most of us. And he talked to Zelensky and says, "Hey, you know, why don't you, I'm not going to give you the money unless you go and investigate Joe Biden and what he's doing in your country." It was what I recall he did. And I think that money eventually got funded. I don't remember for sure because I don't know what happened. But he started it there. You know, he started. And so I don't know that they're going to fund it coming back now. You know, you talk about public radio, public, you know, NPR, public radio. They get a lot of funding. You know, you talk about when I was a kid, you watch old Channel 2 was publicly funded. And that was very political as well. I mean, a lot of what went on it, there's a really good documentary on Sesame Street. And they talked about how a lot of what they did was a little too liberal for a lot of people. And so there's always going to be political pressure over NPR and this sort of stuff. So, you know, they've been threatening to do it for a long time. I don't think we're better for it. I think it's really dangerous when our politicians do what's called viewpoint discrimination. For example, when you're studying the First Amendment, it would be legal for the government to say, like, let's say the government owns U.S. Bank Stadium, which I think they do to some degree, and they said you can't bring signs into the stadium. You could. That's not viewpoint based. It has nothing to do with your viewpoint. It has to do with it's going to maybe cause the people behind you to not see. But if they said, well, you can't bring in signs that are criticizing the Vikings. If you bring in a sign that says fire KOC, we won't let you have it. But the guy next to you has a sign that says, I love KOC. And that's what's going on here. What's going on here is the Trump administration has a certain viewpoint on things, and they're defunding these people because they have a viewpoint different than them. Now, the fact that they're funding them, they certainly don't have an obligation to fund them. They certainly could say, if we're going to fund you, we would want you to maybe do some other things. You can tie some strings to it in certain instances. But this is essentially taking out a voice that they view to be different than theirs, that they don't like the viewpoint of public radio. And you know what? I've listened to public radio. It is probably on the liberal side a little bit. I think it is. But I think it's a lot more straightforward than a lot of our news services. My wife listens to it a lot. I don't listen to it as much. Do you listen much to it?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, Scott, but I'm a WCCO through and through kind of guy.
You just listen to it all day.
News Talk A3O, WCCO.
There's plenty to go around.
News, entertainment, Twins baseball. What's better than this? No, it's the same thing Donald Trump has done with threatening to, you know, take license from the main broadcast networks, even though they're not the ones that actually have the license. It's the individual, you know.
And that might get on. That would be a violation of the First Amendment. Not that the Supreme Court would say that, but it would be. You know, you can take away the license for violating rules, but you can't take away the license for with their viewpoint on.
Yes, because they weren't nice to you.
Correct.
They didn't say what you wanted to say.
Here, you know, the federal government has no obligation to fund these stations. So I'm not saying this is not a constitutional issue. If the federal government says they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. Okay, they don't have to do it. Okay, no one forces them to do it. But we all know the decision why they're doing it. You know, if these stations were, you know, it's viewpoint based, and I guess that's the way you're doing it. And I think that's dangerous. I don't like it, but I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. They don't have to pay the money, but they did. So I don't know what's going to happen to these things. Hopefully, maybe some other people will contribute to them. My guess is they won't go away, but we'll see if they do or they don't.
A lot more pledge drives.
When we come back, yeah, you're right. When we come back, should the Dems start using social media in a way that is similar to how MAGA does it? We'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Lindus Construction Time Check. Your time here at WCCO 830-148. Time to upgrade with GAF hail-resistant roofing and save 75% on installation labor. Offer ends July 31st. I think we can all say about Donald Trump is that he completely changed the way people politic, right? From his very first time coming down the escalator to every day since. He is bombastic. He is straightforward on things. He insults people. He calls people names. He lies. He does whatever he wants, but in a loud and very forceful fashion, right? And there was a long period of time where the Democrats, you know, when they did it the opposite, right? So, and it worked in 2020 when Biden won. Biden kept it, you know, tried to say this, we're completely different from Trump. He acts a certain way. I act a completely different way. And Biden won the election. And the Democrats, I think, really thought they were going to win in 2024, but they didn't. And for a lot of reasons, that was their own fault. But through it all, Trump has never changed, right? Trump has never changed. One thing about Donald Trump, he's incredibly consistent. He'll never admit he was wrong. He'll never admit that he lied. He will lie, but he won't. But he'll act like it's the truth. He'll disinformation. He'll do it. And a lot of people are drawn to him on this. So there's been some movement lately within the Dems in their social media and the way they communicate with other people is that they think that maybe they need to fight Trump by being more like Trump. I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
It's the Governor Walz line he used a month ago, right?
Yep.
You got to bully a bully.
Yep. He says, so I, for one, haven't wanted the Dems to stoop to name-calling and bombastic lying simply because it has worked for Trump. But could the Dems become a little bit more interesting by being a little bit more in your face? I think it's possible. According to MSNBC, Democratic social media team is becoming more aggressive. And dare I say, they even used the F word in a recent post. By the way, if you watch Quarterback, the Quarterback show, I recommend it again because Kirk Cousins, again, is the star of it. You know, there's a lot of F-bombs being flying around like on the field and when they're coming off the game and doing podcasts.
They use that in the NFL?
Yeah, believe it or not.
That's amazing.
Tim Hagan, who leads the DNC's war room, the Democrat National Committee's war room, he says every day the Trump administration, Republicans in Congress, they're doing something cruel and corrupt and absurd, and they deserve mockery. The strategy is not to have someone who needs to read a 40-page deck and calibrate before posting, but just go out and recruit people who know how to dunk. The DNC's meaner, more freewheeling social media presence is part of a broader shift underway among Democrats who want to loosen up, shake their by-the-book image, and strike a harder tone toward Trump and other Republicans. Party leaders are swearing more, using edgier insults, recording more direct-to-camera videos, embracing hours-long podcast appearances, and trying to project a raw authenticity that, to Democrats' frustration, many voters have come to associate with Trump. In the wake of Trump, it's really important for us to understand that authenticity is the coin of the realm, that voters can smell insincerity more acutely than ever before, said Senator Chris Murphy, D of Connecticut, who has long written his own social media posts. They know when you are using talking points or poll testing language, they expect you to make no mistakes. And apparently, and I haven't followed it that closely, but the Zohran Mamdani, who won did he win the election or just the preliminary election?
Preliminary
injection.
Yeah, for the
that
Democrats.
His recent upset victory in the Democratic primary for New York mayor impressed with a social media heavy, plain spoken communication strategy that bested the conventional buttoned up campaign of former Governor Andrew Cuomo. Mamdani also ventured into unfriendly spaces Democrats often have shied away from, including a podcast hosted by former NYPD officers who acknowledged their conservative-leaning audience would balk at the self-described Democratic socialist. So he went out there with it, and at least in New York, it worked. I'm somewhat torn on this. I don't like the idea that they have to. I don't like name calling. I don't like screaming. I don't like lying. I've been critical of Walz for even the little white lies he told during the campaign with Kamala Harris. But the Dems have to do something. You know, it might be good to start by getting somebody who they think can run for president in a couple of years. That wouldn't be a retread. But I'm not so sure that I want them getting in a screaming match with Trump. I don't know.
I don't think they can win a screaming match with Trump.
No,
I don't think they can win an insult match with Donald Trump.
I think they maybe should focus more on people that can address, and the place to start would be Pete Buttigieg. When Pete Buttigieg is dealing with an issue, he deals with it confidently. He deals with it. He speaks very plainly, and he has the facts to back it up. And no matter how much time, and no matter what you do to him, he's gone on Fox News. No matter what you say to him, he never loses his cool. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of a Sports Illustrated story I once read about Brian Bosworth. Remember the Boz?
The Boz.
The Boz was the linebacker from Oklahoma and kind of went in the NFL and kind of fizzled out.
Didn't work out.
He did play a little bit, but he wasn't the Boz in the NFL. Like he was the Boz. He was very, he was, and so the point would be is that at that time there was a running back for, I want to say, Rozier, a running back for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, who ended up winning the Heisman. And he said that, and Bosworth, so someone asked Bosworth, they said, who's the guy you play against that bothers you the most? And he said, Rozier. And he said, why? He goes, because no matter what I do to him, I tackle him, and at the bottom of the bottom of the tunnel, I am grabbing his groin and twisting it. Mm. I am putting my elbow in his face. I might be spitting at him. And he always would get up, and he would tap me in the butt, and he'd say, nice tackle, Brian. Nice tackle. And he said that drove him crazy.
Sure.
Now, I don't see that driving that same sort of theory driving Trump crazy. Maybe it would if you don't engage him, but you can still be forceful and you can be colorful and you can be direct without having to resort to insults or name calling. That's what I'd like to see them do. For sure, I want to see them be a lot harder on him because I'm a believer that the Dems aren't anti-Constitution and aren't anti-America. You might not agree with their policies. You might think their policies are leading America where you don't want to go. But I think they're different. I have real concerns whether Trump whether Trump really cares about the Constitution or cares about democracy. I tend to think he doesn't. And we've talked a lot about reasons why he does. But when somebody's like that, you have to deal with him in a way that is forceful. But you don't want to look like him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, just you be careful with what you say is true. Make sure it's true that you're backed up, but be forceful with it if you want.
Yeah, and like I said, you're not going to be better at throwing insults or, you know, whatever it is. Better, you're not going to do it better than Donald Trump does it because he's perfected it. But you used the word earlier about just being authentic. You can be authentic without being insulting, without, you know, hurling insults at Republicans. If you're the Democrats, you can be authentic by just taking on Donald Trump or whoever the Republican candidate might be in whatever race you're talking about. And just calling them out for if it's lies, if it's just differing opinions than yours. And you can call people out and say, look, American public, like you said, as Pete Buttigieg has done many times, because he's a really good public speaker. He's always on point and he doesn't lose his cool.
Doesn't lose his
cool. He's very good at saying in plain words, look, here's the truth. Here's where I stand. Here's where they stand. Here's where I think they are full of it. Yep. And he doesn't do it insultingly. It's not a mean thing, but he's very direct and he's very serious about it. And you can tell he means what he says.
He does. Now, coming up next hour, I'm really excited about this. We're going to have talks.
Senator Aaron May Quaid.
Aaron May Quaid, who is a lot of people out there want, you know, we do not have legalized sports bet booking in this state. We have the fantasy apps. But we don't have that. But Senator Aaron May Quaid is against it, and so am I, and I'm going to tell you why. And the reason why is the virtual sports books, DraftKings and FanDuel Sports, are acting in unethical and horrible ways that are hurting a lot of people. We'll talk about that when we come back at the top of the hour break.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.